Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we're chatting with Michelle Staggs of P. Dilly's Cupcakes. Michelle, how are you today?
I'm great. I'm excited.
We're excited to have you. So Michelle brought us some cupcakes, so I get to stare at these throughout the whole interview, and I desperately want one right now, but I'm going to hold off and wait. So Michelle, how long have you been creating specialty cakes and confections?
Well, as far as cupcakes, like I kind of got into it just as a hobby a long time ago and realized I had a talent for scratch baking and putting flavors together. But 2015 is when I actually started doing it to sell.
So yeah. Were you doing it at home a lot for your family?
I was, and friends, and I used to work at a hospital. I was in radiology, and like each person's birthday, they would kind of bring me an idea about what they wanted me to create. And I would put together flavors for them, and it's just kind of how it started.
And were people telling you, hey, you've got something going on here?
Well, and everybody always talked about how good it is, but I think people are almost always nice when you bring in something sweet. But like more people would ask me, and then we did a fundraising bake sale for my daughter's choir, and that was the first time that I realized how much my product stood out, because we literally had a line just for my cupcakes, and like people were arguing over who got the last two. And that was kind of what set in motion the idea, I might make some money doing this.
So were you self-taught? How did you go about the process of learning to do this?
100% self-taught. No education in this whatsoever. Sometimes I think it makes it better, because then I don't come in with preconceived notions. I don't know that things shouldn't work that I make work sometimes. Mm. So, you know, just like doing macarons, that is definitely a very touchy, kind of delicate thing that I had no idea how hard they were. So my first batch came out beautiful, and I was like, oh my gosh, why are people making such a big deal out of this? And then I realized how hard they were, and, you know, messed up about 20 batches after that. But it's something that it's a science. It's something I've always loved and always knew kind of how to figure things out. I just never realized that not everybody had that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, not everybody does. Yep. That's what makes you an artist.
Yep.
For sure. Your cakes and confections are so beautiful, and they taste as good as they look. They truly do. What is the culinary process involved with creating a confection that is both pleasing to the eye and also the taste buds?
Well, our main motto is that we do not use any pre-made products. So everything we do, we make from scratch. And that way we have control over every single aspect, from the cake to the filling to the topping. And I don't even know how to describe what I see in my mind is when I start thinking of like our tiramisu cupcake. Tiramisu is one of my favorite desserts in the world. So when I'm designing that cupcake, I'm thinking, what about this makes me think of that favorite thing of mine? And it could be that the coffee dusting on the top of it, or the vanilla bean, or the coffee bean, or like when we do an orange creamsicle, like that's one of my favorite ice creams. Like, what about that cupcake, when I look at it, will instantly take me back to being a kid and seeing that ice cream swirled together.
You're listening to The Scene on Light Rock 95.9. Coming up, we will continue our chat with today's featured artist. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we're chatting with Megan McSpadden of Mediums of Life Studio. Welcome to the show, Megan.
Hello, I'm happy to be here.
When something deeply inspires one of your images, what are the steps that you go through to create the image, like from start to finish? What's your process?
So a lot of times what I'll do is I'll get a lot of reference images. Like, for instance, the Dogwood Park. I started it last summer, And then it got into like late winter and it was warming up and I was like, oh, I'm going to go out and I'm going to work on this painting a little bit. And I noticed there were no leaves on the tree. And I'm like, oh, well, that's going to have to wait a little bit.
Wait, are you painting live?
I am. I've actually been painting that in Dogwood Park.
That's awesome.
It's an excuse to take my dog out and I get to communicate with kids. And I had one of them, I had to get some blue in and they're like, can I paint that? I'm like, yeah, sure. Have at it.
That's awesome.
It's so much fun. But so it's taking the image, and usually I will have a photo. I'll take multiple photos just in case I want to get some work done when, you know, it's raining. And I use that photo reference. I think the hardest thing for me especially when I get like really inspired, is I have to slow down because I want to get into the nitty gritty of the painting.
I know. I'm right there with you.
I want to get those details in and I'm super excited. And I know that that's not how you start. It's really funny because my husband walked in the other day and he's like, oh, you're starting a new painting. And I'm like, how'd you know? And he's like, your glasses are off. Because a lot of times you need to get the shadows and the contrast. And my eyesight's horrible without my glasses. So I'll just take them off and then everything's blurry. So
that's awesome.
Have to squint my eyes to get the depths.
And then it kind of forces you too to not put the detail on because you can't see.
Exactly.
I am right there with you. When I do a painting, I'm like, I do. Like you're so anxious to get to that final step. And it's not like that. It's almost like an onion and it's got just layers.
Yeah.
And so you have to treat it like that. But the new paintings, it's funny how it's funny the evolution. Have you ever taken photographs like when you start to finish? Yeah.
Yeah. On my Instagram, you'll see too, like you'll see the starts and it's always hard as an artist to put those starts out. Because it's like, oh my gosh, it's terrible. Like,
yeah, you feel like that.
But then at the end, it's so rewarding to be able to see. And I feel like that's what a lot of people, and I know a lot of people on social media love to see. And I do too. I watch those videos all the time where they start out with just like a wash. And then the next thing you know, you have this beautiful scene. And it's like, okay, I'm slowing that down to see how they did that.
Yeah, for sure. When I first started, I'm self-taught, so. And I think you are too, right?
Yes.
So no concept of what I was doing, just kind of playing with it. But I wanted to be at that final stage right when I started. And so I had to learn about the layering. And I think too, when you're on social media a lot, or you have something like YouTube to look at for reference, you can see what a process it is. Where can we find your work? Because I know, you know, we can see you on social media, but where else can we find you if we want to get something?
So I have small prints in one of the boutiques in Cookeville, 3125 in Cookeville. It's where the Reagan mural is.
Okay, gotcha.
Hillary and Allie have been nice enough to let me put in some like postcard size prints and sell there. And most of those are all the Cookeville paintings.
Awesome.
They also have my business cards to get a hold of me. And then I am on Instagram under Mediums of Life Studio, as well as Etsy under Mediums of Life Studio.
Ooh, I didn't know you had an Etsy. That's fun.
Yeah, it is quite a challenge to balance all the websites.
I know.
But it's really rewarding.
You're rocking it, girl.
I'm
proud of you. I met Megan at Art Prowl and maybe like 3 years ago. And I will say she's blossomed as an artist and she's just come so far. So I was so happy to have you on the show today and I really appreciate it.
Coming up, Sheila Scruggs will preview the live music scene this week. All that and more is on the scene with Light Rock 95.9.
Hello, I'm Emily Newman and welcome to the scene. Today we are going to meet with Michelle Staggs, who's the owner of Peedley's Cupcakes. And she specializes in cupcakes and custom cakes. I feel like a little kid and I eat your cupcakes.
Yep. And that's my goal. Like we had one girl come in one day. She had never been in the shop and all she wanted was a vanilla cupcake. And I'm going to try not to get emotional when I tell this story.
It's okay if you do.
Like she went and sat down with her family and she came up to me and she's like bawling. And I'm like, oh gosh, what just happened here? And she's like, this is my grandmother's cake. And she was probably my age, so not super young, but she's like, my grandma died when I was like 5 years old. And she's like, this takes me back to her kitchen. And that's our goal is give people something that's a memory, that if it doesn't strike a memory, that it creates a memory so that their kids can one day look back and think, oh, my mom used to take me to a shop when I was a kid and this is the flavor. Like,
you create cakes for customers on special mm-hmm. occasions. Tell me about that process.
Well, when I first started this, I said I wasn't going to do cakes. I was just going to be a cupcake shop. And then I started like referring cakes out and realized that I wanted them to get the same product in their cake that they were getting in their cupcakes. So I just started watching YouTube videos and practicing over and over and over. And I would literally tear a cake apart, decorating it so many times, trying to learn all the different techniques. And usually when somebody comes in and they talk about a cake, I kind of have them bring in maybe an inspiration picture or something that makes them think of this. Either it's maybe their wedding dress or their kids' party invitation. People will bring that in a lot. And then we'll kind of start building off of that, like using those colors and designs. And it's a process. Sometimes takes days or even weeks to put every little part of that together.
And is that something, like, do you thoroughly enjoy doing that?
I do.
Yeah.
I do.
You're good at it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I like, it's a challenge, and I try not to take on things that I know or I don't have confidence that I can do. I've seen that a lot, and I've done it in the past, taken on something and get into it and then not put out my best product. But I do like to take on things that maybe I've never done that are going to be a challenge. I like things that are a little bit difficult. And, you know, like we've done hand-painted cakes, and I've never painted anything worth looking at in my life. And my daughter, I mean, you've seen, she is this gorgeous little artist. And I said to her one day, I was like, I don't know where you get that from. And she's like, are you kidding me right now? She's like, do you ever look at the things that you do that, like, you're literally painting on a cake and you don't think you're an artist? So she's the one that kind of changed my mind about.
I see you as a total artist.
Oh, thank you.
I was looking through your Instagram page yesterday. And so the custom cakes that you do are like a work of art.
Thank you.
They're beautiful, and they have this just like magical element to them. Where I can only imagine if I'm sitting at a birthday party and somebody shows up with one of those cakes, I wouldn't want to eat it because it's so beautiful. More of our conversation with today's featured artist is just ahead as The Scene continues on Light Rock 95.9.
Welcome back to The Scene, brought to you by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. It's where we discover and uncover artists and their art from around the Upper Cumberland. And your art. Learning a new craft could be closer than you think. This week on Your Art, we meet Bevan Butler. Bevan is an instructor with Tennessee Tech School of Art, Craft, and Design. She's also the coordinator of the 24th annual Bacchanal, where you can bid on different genres of art from all over the Upper Cumberland. The fundraiser goes to scholarships for those at the Appalachian Center for Craft.
That's right.
I've heard Bacchanal for years around here at Tennessee Tech, but what does it actually mean?
Okay, so the origin of this title for the event comes actually from the Roman god Bacchus, mm-hmm. who is derived from the Greek god Dionysus, both of whom are actually the gods of harvest and especially wine harvest. And so the ancient Romans liked to party, and they would have these events called the Bacchanalia, in which they would all get extraordinarily wine drunk and have a great time. And so we're greatly tamed down from that event.
What's fun is not only the great food, but there's also a live auction from the students or alumni from the Appalachian Center for Craft, which is part of Tennessee Tech.
That's right. So we've actually got artwork from regional artists, from Tennessee Tech alumni, from School of Art, Craft, and Design faculty, artists in residence, and students. And we have a real fast-talking auctioneer, Ted McWilliams of McWilliams Auction and Realty.
He's so fun.
He is a superstar. He makes it a lot of fun. So even if you're not the one bidding, you're there to have a good time.
That's correct. Yeah. And then I love it because there's so many different types of art, too.
jewelry.
That's right. So we've got art that represents all of the 8 concentrations that we have within the School of Art, Craft, and Design, which are art education, painting, and digital design, which are located on the main campus here in Cookeville, and then out at the Appalachian Center for Craft, which is actually a satellite campus of Tennessee Tech. We've got clay, fibers, glass, metals, and wood. So we're going to have everything from poster designs to paintings to jewelry to scarves to functional wood and glass and ceramic ware and sculptural wood, glass, and ceramic ware and all of the above. So come hungry, come thirsty, and leave with lots of art.
And it's only $50 for advance tickets or $60 at the door.
That's right. So you can get your tickets for $50 online on Tennessee Tech's website. You can also check us out on Facebook at TN Tech School of Art, Craft, and Design.
Our thanks to Bevan Butler, coordinator of the 24th Annual Bacchanal, an instructor with Tennessee Tech School of Art, Craft, and Design. Follow your heart. It will lead your art. Helping guide you on the path to a new craft, it's your art on the scene.
Hello, I'm Emily Newman, and welcome to The Scene. Today, we are going to meet with Michelle Staggs, who's the owner of Pete Ely's Cupcakes, and she specializes in cupcakes and custom cakes. So you have a really strong online following, and I see a lot of very positive comments about your cakes and your cupcakes. And so you actually accommodate with people with special dietary needs. Can you give us some example of these dietary restraints and how they necessarily don't really put a damper on your desserts, the way they look and the way they taste?
Well, the main thing that we do gluten-free. We're working on some dairy-free because we do understand there is a huge dairy-free community growing right now. But the gluten-free kind of started from my daughter having some struggles with gluten intolerance, and I realized how hard it was for people who struggled with this to find things that tasted really, really good. And I wish I still had the pictures, I've lost them somewhere, of our process of building these gluten-free recipes. Because, I mean, we've tried probably 20 different flour blends and different ideas, and some of them didn't rise. Some of them tasted like sand. Some of them had a massive hole in the middle of them, but tasted fabulous. And we finally got that like Goldilocks perfect cupcake. And we'll have people come in and they'll be like, oh, what's this? What's this? And they'll see the gluten-free and they're like, what's this? And we'll say it's our gluten-free options. And if they're not gluten-free, they automatically go, ew, gross. And I'm like, trust me, if I gave you that and didn't tell you, you would never, ever know that you were eating a gluten-free product.
No, you wouldn't, because I've had them and had no idea that they were gluten-free. Mm-hmm. Like, no idea at all. That's awesome. And they look exactly the same, too. Like, you've completely mastered it.
Yeah, we actually put them in different color wrappers, because if we didn't, we wouldn't be able to tell them apart.
Yeah. So, you have a very busy business.
Yes.
How do you keep the passion for a constant flow of new creations while balancing and running the business, and you're attentive to your customers too?
That's probably the hardest part, is not working yourself to death. And that was the reason that we wanted the open concept of our store. Many, many years ago, I went into a bakery in New York, and that was the first time I ever saw an open concept bakery or candy store where you're sitting there watching people create the things that you're eating. And I didn't want to be just back in a kitchen where I was just separated from all of my customers, because I love our customers. Like, mm-hmm. I've developed such amazing friendships with the people that come in. I like to chat with them, but I get to talking and my work would never get done. So it's nice to have that I can just keep working and keep talking to them. As far as the passion, like, I think this was a God-given desire. So I really, really believe that this is what I was chosen to do. So I wake up every morning and I'm excited to go to work. And I mean, we're about to hit 4 years here in Cookeville, and I don't see us slowing down.
No, no. I see you just growing and growing and growing. And because you offer just a really wonderful product, and then it's beautiful. And then you, like you said, I mean, you have all these customers, and you know how to make them happy. And it's just, it's good. It's good juju all
Thank
around.
You.
So where can we find your cupcakes and your cakes?
Well, we're in the historic West End of Cookeville, where all the amazing restaurants around us, Crawdaddy's, Seven Senses, Blue Pig. So we plopped ourselves right in the center of everybody there at 41 West Broad Street.
Wonderful. So if you haven't tried P. Deli's, you're going to have to go check it out.
Awesome.
Like right now.
Yep.
So I'm going to eat my cupcake. And thank you for listening to The Scene with Michelle Staggs. Coming up, we'll talk about the mechanics and inspiration behind the creative process used by artists right here in the Upper Cumberland as The Scene continues on Light Rock 95.9. Welcome to The Scene, presented by The Fragrant Mushroom in Sparta. I'm your host, Emily Newman, and today we are chatting with Marilee Hall. Marilee, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. I'm tickled to be here.
We're so happy to have you. So I've been following your work for a while, and I've seen you at the Art Prowl, and so I'm really excited for the opportunity today to really get to know you and find out what you do. So how old were you when you took an interest in the arts, and what learning curve led you to the world of ceramics?
Well, I would say I was probably around 9 when I became interested in art, and I had an interesting start. I was working with my great aunt, who was a home economics teacher, and I began using products such as a cake that I would bake to describe a science project. For example, I would make an igloo out of cake, and I would ice it, and I would make little lines for the blocks of ice, and so I became conscious that I could express myself with food in that actual instance, and so actually I was progressing with a career in food with the catering business on the island of St. Simons, where they're having a hurricane just recently, when I met an artist who led me into clay, and that would be my future husband. And so it was an accident that I landed in clay, but I'm so happy.
Yeah, I'm happy too, because your stuff is incredible. Would you say that the Appalachian culture has influenced your art at all?
You know, that is such an interesting question, and I would not have said that it had, but as I was thinking about it, I would say it has influenced my work in one major way. I used to go and visit another of my great aunts in the mountains of North Carolina, Banner Elk. And she was always full of stories. We were mesmerized by her stories. And as I think about it, the culture of the Appalachians is based on storytelling. Mm-hmm. And, of course, so is the culture of the entire human world. We have grown up through storytelling. And I really think that the magic of her storytelling has compelled me to use that in my work. I don't merely make vessels. I make stories.
So where can we find examples of your work, and where is your studio located for those who don't know?
Well, my work is available at my studio in the Cream City building. I am in the back. Do not go in the ice cream place to get my artwork. Go around to the very back of the building. I am open for the Art Prowl, and I would love to see you there. I have artwork at the Appalachian Center for Craft at the Art Round Tennessee members show right now. I have some work in a catalog called Artful Home, and I have work in various galleries around the Southeast, and particular, I have work in a gallery in Asheville called Grove Wood.
Come see Marilee at the Art Prowl. Come see us all at the
and
Art
Emily.
Prowl.
Emily.
Yes, for sure. Well, we're so happy to have you on our show today. We appreciate it so much. Thank you for listening to The Scene with Marilee Hall. That's all this week. Special thanks to our friends at The Fragrant Mushroom for sponsoring our show. If you're looking for unique gift ideas or just something for yourself, The Fragrant Mushroom on West Bachman Way in Sparta has something for everyone. Thanks again to executive producers Will Hearn and Billy Mack. I'm Emily Newman, and this has been The Scene.